Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Sharon Bradley, Nancy Galway, and Phil Powers. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, everyone. My name is Phil Powers, and I would like to thank you for coming to tonight's broadcast of the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, we will be talking with Tisha Morris about Feng Shui and her latest book, Feng Shui Your Life. And hopefully, she will share a few helpful tips with us. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my wonderful co-hosts, Nancy Galloway, Sharon Bradley, and Maureen Halloran. And let's see if they will share a little information about themselves with us. Hey, Nancy. How are you tonight?
Hi, Phil. How are you? I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Can you share a little about yourself and your abilities and how you fit into the big picture?
Well, I, like everybody else, I'm a advisor on PsychicAccess.com, and I go by Silver Wolf, and I'm an empath and intuitive, and I love to use tarot cards as my tool, and I also get guidance from my angels, and I think we all have a guardian angel with us, so I get guidance from them, and I really enjoy it, and I'm very excited about tonight.
Very excited about tonight. We're going to learn a little feng shui.
All right, it'll be interesting.
It'll be fun. Thanks, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And Sharon, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm excited about tonight's show. I love feng shui.
You sound excited.
Yeah. I'm always sound like this.
Can you tell us a little about your abilities and what you do?
Sure. I'm a psychic on Psychic Access, which I really love to do. And also, I hear from spirit and I see from spirit. So I don't usually, I can't do tarot or anything like that, but I just get messages. So that's how I do my readings.
Well, that's cool. I wouldn't say you can't do tarot, you just don't.
But, well, I can't. I have tried. I can't figure it out. but you know, I like doing it the other way. So, but okay. I'm excited for you tonight. Yeah.
Very good. Thanks. And okay. Last but not least, let's say hi to Maureen. Hi, Maureen.
How am I last but not least? I'm always last.
You're always last. I can change the format next time.
No, I like being last. Even getting in line, I'm last. Okay. Anyway, yes, my name is Maureen, and I have all the C things going on. Clairvoyance, clairsentient, I hear, smell, feel, empath, all that stuff, and a caring heart, and it allows me to receive my psychic impressions, visions, and above all, the ability to see beyond appearances. So I'm well versed in relationships, business, financial ventures, and more importantly, spiritual development. And I have good intentions, and I've been doing this for 25 years. And yes, I as well am on PsychicAccess.com with my wonderful co-host. The end.
Okay. All right. Tonight I'm excited to have with us Tisha Morris, author of Feng Shui Your Life and 27 Things to Feng Shui Your Home. If you feel overwhelmed with where to start in your home, this book is for you. Instead of trying to understand theories and calculations, this book will get you rolling up your sleeves and moving your feet, and that's when the magic happens. For more information on Tisha Morris, please visit her website at www.tishamorris.com. And be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics, the ones that just introduced themselves. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our show last week about animal totems, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out with our guides and connect with as many people as possible, so be sure to include others in our show. And hi, Tisha, are you there? Oh, Tisha is going to be a minute. She is getting pulled in right now. So let's kind of open it up. What is Feng Shui, Maureen? What's kind of your concept?
I think it's all good. And to me, it goes back so far. But for me, because recently I just moved, and after living in a place for almost 9 years, I don't think I ever did any, what do you call it, spring cleaning. My daughter's in the room, Mariah, and she can even support that I did not do that. But I'm real happy to say that since I moved, I have done a little bit things differently, and I can feel the difference the way I've set up things. Definitely. So I feel it's been around for thousands and thousands of years.
It's been there for a while. Actually, Tisha's got a little phone app I'm going to have her talk about, and I think you can walk around your house with it, which is really cool.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that. And Mariah, my daughter, is in the chat room. That's something that she has. Everybody has iPhones. They get those phone apps. And it's interesting, Mariah, when she talks about that, listen to it, because I think that's a great idea. It's a great idea.
It's cheap. It's right on your phone. You can bang it off her website. But yeah, I kind of did a little feng shui and cleaned my office this week. But, you know, I was burning incense and putting sea salt in the corner. But then I was like, oh, the door's not supposed to be in back of me. I need a mirror so I can see it. All that, you know, and started doing that. And I actually changed the energy in there, which felt better.
Yeah, and you, if you point in a certain direction and this direction and that direction, you get the water energy. Well, I live down at the water, but so I got more than enough water. But you can ask somebody else here what they think of putting lights around their bodies. And I'm joking. So it's a personal joke about what I was like. Okay.
We'll see later.
Sorry, I grew up by the water, but I now live away from the water, but there's a lot of rivers, and I just started renting space, and it's a little wellness center, but it's really unusual because a river, you don't see the river, but the river runs right underneath the property, and you can actually feel the difference that the energy of the water makes. So
the river runs under the ground?
Yeah, it's like it's an old, yeah. And you can see it if you look out the window on the other side of the building. There's another office. He can actually see the river coming out from underneath the building. But it's really, it's beautiful when you can see it, but you can just really feel it too. It's amazing.
Very cool.
I just thought I'd share that.
And Sharon, do you have any feng shui stuff you want to share real quick?
No, just I love it. I'm always fiddling around with stuff and making things go this way. I drive my husband nuts, but I have all these little lucky cats everywhere, and I'm always doing something with feng shui.
Redecorate your house like every 3 months or so, or...?
No, I know you're supposed to move. You're supposed to move 100 things every so often to get things moving in your house. But I love stuff like that. I can't wait to read your book. That sounds great.
But I think animals. I heard this. I didn't read this. But when if you have pets in the house, they keep the energy moving also.
Really?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Nancy's the pet gal.
Yes, I'm the pet
person.
So I'm looking forward to tonight.
It's not hoarding till you have 28.
Okay, I think Tisha is aboard. Are you here, Tisha?
I'm here.
Beautiful. Thanks for coming. How are you tonight?
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. You've got a new book out. You've got the apps out. You've got all that stuff. And I guess we're just going to hit you with a couple of questions to get started. How's that sound?
I want to use the 28th cat. I love that. You're not hoarding until you have the 28 cats. I like that. I use that for my next book.
Your next book. We'll be waiting for that one. All right. Here's kind of the odd question. I'm going to start with the odd question first. Now, nobody knows this unless they've hit your website already, and I obviously recommend they do that, but you were a lawyer for like 10 years. So how does someone go from getting a JD practicing law to becoming a feng shui practitioner?
Well, you know, Western Kentucky University didn't have a feng shui major.
Okay.
That's supposed to be funny.
I got it.
You know, what I'm finding is there's so many attorneys these days that they're not practicing law, and they've gone on to very creative fields. And I do believe, while I was trying to be funny there for a moment, I do believe that, you know, we live in a time in history in which the jobs that are available or the things that people are doing now just did not exist, you know, 6 months ago, a year, and certainly not 5 years ago. And so the way I've kind of looked back on my life, it's like, and a lot of other people who were in the law field, it's like law has been, it's like a prism for people that didn't really know what the job didn't exist at the time when they went to law school. And it's kind of thrown out into all these really creative areas. And, you know, while law does not seem creative, and it's really not, but in some ways it kind of is more creative, because when I went to law school, I was really taken back by a new way of, the whole point of law school is teach you a way of thinking as opposed to teaching you laws. And it's all about the gray, you know, not the black and the white, but the gray area. And that was like a kind of really opened my mind, surprisingly enough. But to be more specific to answer your question, I went to interior design school while I was practicing law part-time. And then I went into the healing arts, and it was actually yoga. Yoga was kind of my bridge into what I do now. It really kind of introduced, and I think I call it the gateway drug. Into the healing arts, it's kind of the bridge for a lot of people.
So yoga, getting into yoga kind of gave you the shift over to start getting way deep into the feng shui.
Yeah, it kind of introduced me to kind of the world of energy, and I started understanding intuitively the whole mind-body connection, and that really kind of, from there I went into energy healing, and then it kind of all came full circle, and I realized I could heal space is the same way I can heal the body.
Very
while making
good.
It pretty, too.
now, this is kind of a hot topic. You have a feng shui mobile app on your site. Can you explain what it is and how it works and how to get it? And
definitely.
Why everyone
yeah,
needs
I,
it, because I think it's so cool.
Yeah, I'm totally a nerd, geek, techie, too. And I love my iPhone. So I had to do an app. And so what it is, it's an interactive Bagua map. The Bagua map, which we'll probably talk about more, is kind of the quintessential tool that's used in feng shui to kind of lay out which areas of your home represents which areas of your life. And so, you know, I explain in the app how to align it with your floor plan. And then you can click on each of the 9 squares, and it brings up all the information you need about that area of your home and how to enhance the energy and things like that. So it's available in the iTunes store. It's called Feng Shui Bagua Map. That's with a B, B-A-G-U-A map. Or you can just search my name, Tisha, T-I-S-H-A. I think I'm still the only Tisha with an app. So
nice. I like it. And you can walk around your house with it, and it's like a little book in your hand.
Yeah, it's really, it's chock full of info. So yeah, it's good.
Sweet. All right. What inspired you to write the Feng Shui Your Life?
Yes. So, for clarification, Feng Shui Your Life is kind of the updated version of 27 Things to Feng Shui Your Home. And the publisher kind of did a repackaging, so to speak, and now the 27 Things is more of a gift book version of it. So Feng Shui Your Life was inspired by my very, very first Feng Shui workshop I ever gave. I, prepared all this material and gave them all this great information. And at the very end, a woman raised her hand and said, "What do we do? What do I do first?" And I was like, "That's a really good question. I'll have to think about that." And so I did, and wrote a book about it. I realized people are so overwhelmed with where to begin with their home, and in most feng shui books, not all, but most feng shui books are a little confusing and don't really help of where to start. And so I wanted a feng shui book that kind of, in a way, demystifies or simplifies feng shui so that it's accessible for everyone who wants to improve their homes and energy.
So yours is actually understandable and useful and
right.
Things to that nature. Okay, because I walked into my office the other day after I, read your web pages and did a little research, and I was like, uh-oh. There's a lot of things wrong in here. I better go get the book. So it is a step-by-step, and here's what to look for. Cool.
Yeah,
and that's obviously what makes your book different than all the other feng shui books that are out there.
Yeah, I kind of arranged it in kind of pseudo-chronological order. You have to clear the clutter before you can start implementing what I call traditional feng shui techniques. What I find so often with my clients, they so want to, add the crystals and the amethyst and all this fun stuff. But, if you add a crystal to, a room full of clutter, you just get more clutter. And
okay.
So the book is kind of written in a logical order of what to do first. And, there's a few steps you don't have to do exactly in step. But the basic format is a very logical, chronological order.
Can I ask you what the first step is?
The first step is clean out your closet. And
your closet, okay.
Closet, yes. And,
throw out those shoes you haven't worn for 4 years. And
that's right.
All that stuff like that, okay.
That's right.
Step number one.
I chose that because, obviously we might have more than one closet, but I'm referring to your clothes closet. Because that's the closet that's most personal to us. It's the closet we use every day. It's the stuff we see every day. And, the clothes we put on are so representative and symbolic of who we are out in the world. And so it's, I also recommend people, when you start clearing clutter, start with the easiest things first. And clothes can be easier than some other areas like your basement or your attic.
Well, yeah, I don't want to go in my attic. But what I could see, if you're getting up in the morning, the first thing to do is get dressed. You're walking into a closet that's overfull of stuff that you haven't worn. It doesn't fit. And so you're starting your morning just fumbling.
That's right.
Okay, so your energy just gets thrown right off kilter, right off the bat. Okay, that makes perfect sense.
The power in clearing clutter is that it's stagnant energy. It's taking up space energetically, physically and energetically, and it's preventing for new stuff to come in. So while you might just be clearing out a pair of old jeans or a t-shirt, it's actually symbolizing a bigger energy going on. And so you want to, create space for new things to come into your life.
It's kind of the big energetic, you need to release things to let new things come in, like a rebirth, as we call it.
Exactly.
Very cool. Okay. So, I guess I don't have to ask my next question. How does clearing clutter relate to feng shui?
Right, yeah. So, that definitely related. So, clutter is kind of a new facet of feng shui. Obviously, 4000 BC, clutter was not a big problem. and so it's really kind of become a big part of feng shui, and then especially in our Western world where we accumulate a lot of things. And so, like I mentioned, you can't start adding the feng shui enhancements until you clear out clutter. You know, feng shui inherently is all about good energy flow and creating, you know, creating space so the energy can flow. And if you're tripping over a bunch of stuff in the hallway, then obviously that's not good feng shui.
Okay. Now, just kind of an odd question. So I'm sitting in a room and I've got pictures up on the wall and statues and things like that. Now, is that bad or is that out of the way and organized?
So, yeah, with pictures...
It depends on a lot.
Yeah, that's where my attorney experience comes in. I say it depends. it depends. What the most important thing is with wall art, whether it's photos or pictures or really any kind of art, because art is so much about symbolism and meaning, is that you want to be very conscious of what symbols and meaning you're bringing into your space. You want to make sure, you know, all art, the whole point of art is to evoke emotion, good or bad, or make a statement. So you want to be very careful about making sure that those symbols or energy still resonates with you. You know, any art with, you know, animals or, you know, that are highly symbolic, you know, that energy is coming out into your space. You know, if you're unsure of some of the symbolic meanings of your art, look up the symbols in a dream dictionary. It's the same meanings whether we're asleep or whether we're awake. And, you know, see what energy you're putting out into your space. And then you also want to think of the personal meaning of the art. You know, what does it remind you of, or what does it trigger in you? Maybe the color red is not a good color for you. Maybe every time you look at it, your blood boils. So just being very, very conscious of what you have going on.
All right. Well, I'm good then, because everything here is the Mexican Aztec calendar, so I'm all set.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, like I had a
so I get good energy in this room, except for that picture of the goat on the wall for no reason. So we'll take that down. All right. What happens to people that live in a cluttered home environment, besides stepping on a skateboard and breaking their ankle?
Right.
Thanks to that nature.
Well, you know, we're finally on a mainstream level kind of cluing into the whole mind-body connection. You know, we know that when we're worried, our stomach hurts. You know, we've made these basic, you know, I'm talking mainstream, we've made these basic correlations between the mind and body. And we're also starting to make correlations between the mind, the body, and the home. We're realizing that a cluttered space creates a cluttered mind. And that we're not as productive. There's actually now scientific studies on this. We're just not as productive when our environment is cluttered. We can't focus. It brings down our mood. And so these are things that, you know, you want to make sure in your home that you're not, you know, our home should be a supportive environment, not one that drags our energy down. So you want to, you know, be very conscious and provide a space that you can come home and recharge your batteries.
From the moment you're walking down the driveway and open the front door, everything should just kind of hit you and flow and feel right.
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah.
That would be a great thing. It would take me about 3 months to get to that point, but why do people have, and since I just said it would take me 3 months to get to that point, why do we have such a tough time clearing out our clutter?
Everything that we own, you know, everything that's in a physical form is a manifestation of something, usually a thought or an emotion. And so our things hold emotion, our own emotional energy. So clutter I define as anything that you no longer use or love. Usually the term use is very, people get that, but the term love can be a little arbitrary. And that's where the emotions come in. For example, I had a client, you know, who had a hard time getting rid of, like, for example, an old ice cream maker that she had not used in 10 years. And while it seemed like a no-brainer to put in the Goodwill box, she was having a hard time letting go of it. And we got to down to the root of it. And, of course, it reminded her of when her children were young and they would, you know, make ice cream in the summers, and it was her kids are, had grown up and gone to college, and she was holding on to those childhood memories. And so once she realized what was going on, it took the power out of it, and she was ready to get rid of the item. So what I recommend to people for items that they're having a hard time with is to start asking yourself questions of, what does this item remind me of? What emotions does it bring up? And just kind of be your own detective and figure out what really is going on with that item.
And so even with the ice cream maker and the memories of the children, in theory, it's, she's actually, by holding that, holding the kids back also.
Yeah, good point.
At least in psychic land, that's how it works.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the court, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, okay. All right. Here's, you're going to do good on this one. How do you hope your book helps readers?
Yeah, so, ultimately, that is the reason we, any of us write books, is to help readers. And the way, and you know, I have a little bit of a track record because the book came out in a previous format, 27 Things. And so what I hear from readers is that they actually start moving their feet and making changes in their home. And what I say is, you know, feng shui only works if you actually apply it. You know, reading about it or understanding the theory behind it, it's fine, but you have to start actually making some changes in your home for it to really take effect. And that's what I, from what, like I said, what I hear from readers, is they're actually, you know, rolling up their sleeves and making some changes.
And actually doing things, as opposed to trying to find that. I did a bunch of YouTube searches, so as opposed to trying to find that giant calculator or whatever compass that they walk around a house with, this is more of a practical approach is what you're kind of teaching. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Cool. All right. Now, I see you teach yoga, and you do a lot of things, by the way. I didn't get into all of them. Do you want to spit them all out? You're certified
sure.
Yoga, life coach, and keep going.
Energy healer. So, yeah, I work. I finally realize what I do, and that is.
Did a little soul searching, did you? Okay.
Yes. The commonality between everything I do is I basically clear out sludge, the crap, out of any space, whether it's your mind, your body, or your home. And, you know, I kept trying to drop one of my things that I do because, you know, in business they tell you to, you know, niche and, you know, be specific. But every time I would try to do that, I would start getting calls for the other service. So what I've finally come to realize is that, and it's actually when you work on those, all those things in tandem, you know, the energy healing and the feng shui, that's when I see clients making the biggest leaps, because it really all, it's kind of like working at it from both sides, the external, the manifested world and our inner world. And so I've come to really embrace the fact that I do several things, even though it might be a little confusing at times.
A little confusing, but it all intertwines.
Right.
Yeah. Because I did a little feng shui this weekend. And when I say a little, I mean a little. But then I did a cleansing of the house where I was just, you know, burning the incense, putting salt in the corners, washing the windows, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just to kind of change the energy also.
Great.
Now, yeah. I'm sure you do it a little different, but okay.
Yeah.
Now in today's housing market, people are still struggling to sell their homes. Can feng shui help sell a home? And how?
Yeah. Or not? I you know, it's kind of like in 2008 when the business market was at its lowest, you know, businesses in America started actually using feng shui because it was cheap and, well, it was almost virtually free for one thing. It was kind of, you know, it's kind of like, why not try something new and different? And that's kind of where we are with the housing market. People are to the point of, why not try something new and different? And so feng shui, people were really opening up to feng shui to help sell their home. And I actually had, I sold my house in 2010. I was one of those who bought in 2007, right before the crash. And so I really, you know, our biggest lessons are in those areas where we where our work is. And so my house was my guru for about a year.
Okay, because you were about to take a beating on it, so you right. changed the energy.
Yeah.
Now, is it right?
Well,
as you
it really,
walk in the
really
house, should there be certain plants there? Should it be completely empty? Or, you know, what do you recommend on that side?
Yeah, there's a lot to it. Definitely,
there's a lot to it.
Yeah, okay. The front entrance clearly is like the first impression. That's where the most energy coming into the home. So that's definitely an area that we look at. Staging. I've had some clients that had their homes staged to sell them, and that's great, and I highly recommend it. But sometimes, or most of the time, stagers don't know feng shui, and I've had to kind of change up some staging with clients. With my home, I had perfectly feng shui'd it per all the rules, and still was not selling, and it really, I took it to a whole deeper level and really tapped into the soul of the home. And
because I would think that would have got you very confused.
What do you mean?
That you feng shui'd the house and got it perfect, and then it wasn't selling.
Yes, it did. It really, it was a real kind of dark night of the soul kind of experience, because, you know, this is what I do, and I can't sell my home, you know.
Okay.
And so it really took a whole deeper level. And the house that I lived in, it was a new construction, and there was a home before that had been torn down, and they built these two homes there in place of it. And I had to really go back to the original blueprint, and there was it experienced trauma, and so it was a new aspect of feng shui, or it's really more of energy healing spaces than anything is a better word for it. And so I learned so much from that experience.
So basically, houses have souls. You had to go deeper down into it and fix the energy that was going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, basically it was traumatized from when they tore down the original one and then built these two up. The energy grid from the original house was still in place. And this is, you know, I live in a historic neighborhood and in infill what they call infill housing, where there's an empty lot or maybe a house is burned down or something, or they're just flipping houses. And this happens a lot. And so what I try to tell people, there's more to it than it appears to the surface. And then the other thing I find a lot with people selling their homes, you know, our personal energy is so important with the home. A lot of times I've come across clients who they're unconsciously holding on to the home for some reason. I had a client who was, the home had been on the market for 2 years. This was just like a year ago during the downturn. And she had just gotten a divorce, and she was desperately wanting to move out of the home, at least she thought. And we dug a little deeper, and actually there was a room, the dining room, where I went in and I could detect an energy disturbance. I asked her about it, and she said that was the exact place that her husband was standing when he told her he was having an affair.
Okay.
Yeah. So cleared that space. But you know what we realized is that she was still holding on to some unresolved emotions having to do with their divorce, and we cleared them. I helped her, you know, with clearing on the emotional side as well. Gave her some little to-do lists. There was still some of his items still in the home, and she literally got an offer.
Oh, she still had items of his in the home?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. So 2 weeks later, she got a contract after being on the market for 2 years. So that's an example of how, again, there's oftentimes more than meets the eye, even the feng shui eye.
It can get a lot deeper than just the redecorating and the flow. It's the soul of the house and all the emotions from how long you live there or whoever lived there before.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. So what's like the craziest thing house you went into and had to fix? Was that the one or?
Yeah, so I don't really specialize in ghost busting, but
I didn't mean ghost busting. I mean kind of feng shui wise.
Oh, I know.
What's the most common thing you see besides clutter? Or is clutter the most common?
The most common besides clutter?
Yeah. Is there something else that people should keep an eye out for?
Usually, people when they call me up, they're having something going on in their life, and so a lot of times, here's what happens a lot of times. Someone will move into a home, and ever since they move into the home, bad things start happening. Whether it's finances, a relationship, or a combination of all that.
Okay. Well, we have a question from the chat room for you. And let me see if I can get this right. So if you have an addiction... Whoops. Sorry, it just moved on me. Again. If you have an addiction put onto the existing house, do you change the feng shui accordingly? If you have an addiction put onto the existing house, do you change the feng shui accordingly?
I'm not sure exactly what
I'm not either.
Change this, but I can still speak
addition,
to that.
Addition. There was a typo.
Okay.
Now it makes sense. If you have an addition put onto your existing house, do you change the feng shui accordingly?
Right. Yeah. Some people, I guess, could have addictions to adding onto their house. But
okay.
I'm assuming they're asking, like, as far as applying the Boggle map. So I'll speak to that. A lot of times when people add additions, they create a missing corner. In feng shui, we call, if you look at the footprint of your floor plan, if there's like a corner cut out of it that's missing, then that's not favorable or auspicious, I guess is the more feng shui term. And so a lot of times this happens when we make additions. We like just add on a room to the back as opposed to like taking up the entire back of the house. And so you got to be aware if you do that. You need to fill in the missing corner either with landscaping or maybe throw in a patio. Landscaping is usually the easiest way, even like, you know, adding a bird bath or
okay, just to kind of
like
keep
that.
The flow going in so it's not like a separate entity when it's put up.
Yeah. But assuming that the missing corner is not an issue. So you would apply the Boggle map, if that's the question that's being asked, to the, that includes the new addition, yes.
Okay. Now, Boggle, I'm going to say it quick because I can't pronounce it and I just heard you say it, so I'm going to go for it. Boggle?
Yeah, that's
map?
Good.
Cool. All right. Can you explain what that is and how it's used?
Yeah, definitely. It's
cool.
Sometimes referred to as the Pakwa, but that's the more Western version says Bagua. But it looks like a tic-tac-toe board, so you could draw a tic-tac-toe board, and it can be square, rectangle, up and down. It can be the shape of your house, so it's like kind of morphable to the shape of your house. If you live in a shotgun-shaped house, it would be more, you know, up and down, or if you lived in a ranch house, it'd be more like long and rectangle. And you can go onto my website, tishamorris.com, and you can download a Boggle map so that you can, and I tell you how to align it with your house. But basically, you align it with the front of the house. Usually, the front door is on the front of the house. And so each of these 9 squares represent an area of our life. So there's the wealth corner, there's the love corner, there's the health section right in the center. The very front section is our career or life purpose section. And so the way we use this in feng shui is, or at least the way I like to use it, is simply as a tool. So if there's one of these areas of your life that you're struggling with or you want to improve upon, you know, apply the Bagua map, see where that area of your home is, go to that area, take an objective look at that area, and see what might be out of alignment. See if there's an area of clutter. That would be the very first thing. See if there's items that you don't really like, if there's big bulky furniture in the way. Be as objective as you can.
Okay.
So that's the way I like to apply it.
What we need to do right now is take a commercial break. And let me hold on for 1 second, Tisha. And that's it. We're going to take a commercial break for 1 minute, and we will be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we are back with Tisha Morris at tishamorris.com, who is a feng shui expert and does it in a creative way. And we have a question from the chat room for you, Tisha, as soon as I find it. Let me see. Ah, here it is. If you need to, the question. If you need to have a fill in, and it goes like this: what if the Bungja map has changed it to the center is missing? Wow, I need that in English.
Me too.
You too. Let me try that again.
I can't pronounce it. I couldn't pronounce that.
We can call it a B map. Maury, do you know the question? Can you read it?
Well, what she's asking is, and I guess Trish, you would know what this means, but it says here, I can't find this now, but it's some map. I guess you would know, Trisha, what it would mean. I can't pronounce that word. It's
the Bagua map, yeah.
Exactly. But here it goes.
We got to say that word.
She wants to know if the Bagua map has changed to the center and it's missing. Does that make sense? Maybe she didn't.
Yeah, I'm not understanding that.
Not understanding it because this is not my expertise, but it has changed. So it's a change and it's a center. She's saying my house is upside down.
I think she's having problems aligning the map properly.
Okay.
So you align it to the architectural front of your home. And so if you have a Bagua map, the front edge of the Bagua map would be aligned with the front wall of your home. And a big question that comes up a lot is, if you don't use your front door, if you use like a side or back door to come into the home, how do you align the Bagua map? You still align it with the intended front door of the home. And so that, I'm not sure if that's part of the question or not, because a lot of people get tripped up on that. But while I'm talking about it, if you're one of the people who use your back door or a garage to come into the home, I would really advise using the front door as much as possible, whether it's to go get the mail or take the dog out or on a nice day, open it up. You certainly want to make sure there's no furniture blocking it. The front door is in feng shui called the primary mouth of qi. Qi, by the way, is just another word for energy. And it is a main vessel through which energy comes into your home. And so this is one of the first areas, it's where you walk in, that you want to look at to make sure that you don't have any energy blocks coming into the home. It's also, for most people on the Boggle map, it's the life purpose section of the house. So if you're having, you know, career or life purpose challenges or need clarification, you know, making sure that that area is not blocked with clutter, or, you know, you want to make it as welcoming as possible. The front door should have like a designated doormat, a doorbell, house numbers, all those things that say, opportunities come through the front door, please. So you want to make energy very welcomed.
So even if, like, I enter through the garage door, which leads into the kitchen, I really want to make sure that my front door entrance is properly set up and pretend that that's where we would enter.
That's right.
Okay. I have a question on the business side of life now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us have home offices. Is there maybe a place in the house that it should be, a direction, north, south, east, west? Are there things that should and shouldn't be in there? Besides clutter, we know clutter is bad.
Right.
Files that we keep. I mean, I know my drawers are full of contracts and things to that nature. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if I actually formed a complete sentence there for you, Tisha.
No, yeah, definitely. So the home office, yeah, more and more of us are working from home, of course. And the very first thing that I advise is to make sure you have a designated office in your home. If you work from home, you know, make sure that you know where your office is. I know that sounds kind of silly, but a lot of times we're just floating from the kitchen table to a chair in the living room, and we're just kind of all over the place. You want to designate your space as your office. So that's number one. Number two, you want to make sure that the state of your office reflects what you want the world to see. So a lot of times if we work from home, we don't have clients, or we don't have
right, no one actually sees us.
Yeah, or coworkers, but it's just as important that your office looks, you know, as if you do have those clients and customers and coworkers, or maybe not coworkers, but customers and clients coming through. And so the quintessential office rule for arrangement is you want to be able to see the door from your desk. So you don't want your back to the door. And again, this is, even though you don't have your boss coming through the door or anyone through, this is equally important because it's so much about, you know, a lot of feng shui is about the energy that we personally put out into the world. And so you want to, it's called the command position in feng shui, as far as facing the door. You feel in command, you feel in your power.
Okay, so my desk, you would actually come over and hit me with a stick or something. I face away from the door with my back in a bay window.
Right.
But after I kind of chatted with a few people, because we were talking about feng shui all week, they said, well, put a mirror up so you can at least look and see the door.
That's right. And that is a remedy.
Is that like a quick fix?
That is. Yeah.
It is.
So
okay,
all this kind
cool.
of is the same concept of, you know, when you go into a restaurant, you hate having your back to the door. It really goes to our old fight or flight function of that literally someone's going to come and beat us over the head, or a big bear is going to attack us. And we still have that in our old amygdala. And that's part of why we feel empowered, I guess is a better word, when we're facing the door. So yeah, the mirror, if you don't have, I mean, a lot of people don't have the setup, or, you know, the computer cords, if you have one of those old, you know, big lug computers at your desk, the computer cords can be atrocious, you know, coming out of the desk.
Do you still trip on yours, or?
I have a laptop now, but what I was going to say is my interior design aesthetics still come into play a lot of times when I'm applying feng shui. So to me, the eyesoreness of the cords would be worse than the feng shui being off. But try to get the cords under control and have your be able to face the door.
Okay, I'm going to have to get you over to my house and fix me up real quick. But and real quick won't be real quick. But in the meantime, all our co-hosts actually are lighting up our little chat room over here and have questions for you.
Okay.
So I guess, Nancy, are you there, Nancy?
I'm here.
Would you like to ask Tisha a question in your gentle voice?
Yes. Well, thank you. I was just typing in here. If you one person asked, if you live at the end of a hill and the front door opens to a window that looks out to the water, is your chi flowing into the water, and should you block that window?
Okay. So they're facing a hill. I'm not clear where the water is.
I think the water is the window opens to the water, and they're on a hill slanting towards the water, so they were wondering if their chi was being lost in the water.
Okay. So, by the way, feng shui translates to wind and water, and feng shui was originally used to find where they would settle their homes or their tents or whatever they used back then. And so this question really goes back to the foundation of feng shui about how the wind and how the water form the land. And so, yeah, these land elements are really important. You want to ideally, you don't want to be in the very top of a hill, and you don't want to be at the very bottom of a hill, ideally. You want to be kind of somewhere in the middle. You want, ideally, for the land to have rolling hills as opposed to, like, plunging. You want, water can be, around your property, can be really good. You want it to kind of meander. You obviously don't want still, yucky water. You don't want rushing water that can be too much chi. So there's lots of, again, I'll go to my attorney answer. It depends. the traditional, like the having the moat around the castle is actually good feng shui. It's very protective, and the water is kind of flowing gently around the property. So it depends on how that water is going about. I've seen houses where they're kind of on a hill with a drainage ditch going down the hill with water flow, and that was not a good setup. And so I would have to get some more detail about how that water is around the property to fully answer that question. But hopefully some of that will help.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. That was a great answer.
All right. I guess we have another question. I think it was from Maureen or the chat room. I'm not quite sure, but colors. Are different colors better than other ones to have in their house? Are there ones you should avoid?
So colors.
Or are you looking for a balance if you look at the color wheel?
Okay.
Okay.
Colors is such a personal preference. A blue can make one person feel depressed, while blue makes another person feel calm. And so that's my very first rule, is how does it make you feel? Go into a room and sit there and actually, go into your body and feel what it feels like. Colors have a vibration, and you want a color that resonates with your vibration. Now, some people, there's colors associated with each section of the Boggle map. Some people really love to really go full force with the Boggle map and paint the rooms, a shade of one of the colors on the Boggle map. And I think that's fantastic if that is what you want to do. General color rules. The main color rule in the bedroom, you just want to make sure you have soft, soothing, actually darker colors work there, more yin energy. Okay. Yin is as opposed to yang energy, because those are the colors that are more soothing and help you sleep better. In kids' rooms, you know, while primary colors are very popular, not so good for, like, hyperactive children colors.
So you really want to kind of tune it to what you want to happen in that room.
Yes.
And yes, what color resonates with you to make that happen. So, okay.
That's right.
So the hyperactive child, you want calming colors in there.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, and I see, like, the bedroom, you know, you want, well, whatever color you want in there.
Yeah.
Et cetera, like, et cetera. Okay. And do you want, like, the house to overall kind of end up with a balance? Not too much yin, not too much yang.
Yeah, so a house ideally should have overall a yin and yang balance. Yin is the feminine, yang is the masculine. Yin is, you know, the moon, yang is the sun, and, you know, all those things. And so the yin and yang balance definitely can be achieved through color. It can be achieved through lighting, you know, how much natural light comes into a room versus artificial light. So colors really do play into that whole, the whole yin and yang balance of a home. If you go into, find the room in your home that's your favorite room, and just see what you have going on in there. There's probably a nice yin and yang balance. It probably has, like, just the right amount of natural light coming in, where it's not too blinding, and it's not, doesn't have an overwhelming yin energy where it's very dark. Probably has a really nice balance of the two.
Okay. And we're going to have to wrap this up. So what I'd like to do is just kind of let you, is there one last thing that you'd like to get out there before we, hate to say goodbye to you, but.
Yeah, sure. So I'll just remind you of my new book coming out, or it's actually, it's already available on Amazon. It'll be in stores on July 19th, but it's called Feng Shui Your Life. There's actually two Feng Shui Your Life books. Mine has the quick guide to decluttering your home and renewing your life. Also has my name on it, so that might help.
can you get that on your website too?
Definitely. You can go to fengshuiyourlife.com or tishamorris.com, whichever way is easier for you to remember. But yeah, you can link to it from my website.
And the B-map is a no-brainer. Everyone should just download that.
Yeah, you can link to it also from my website or go
from your website. So the key is go to Tisha, tishamorris.com, and find out all sorts of stuff there. And well, Tisha, unfortunately, that's all the time we have, but we all really appreciate you taking your time from your schedule, and we wish you the best in all your endeavors, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great night. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. And I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, and I know this for a fact, and each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them, and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they found a Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working with Doug and the Psychic Access team because of those standards. I know that with Psychic Access, I am associated with credible and reputable psychics site and with high standards of integrity, so my reputation is safe. You'll find all of our co-hosts here on the Psychic Viewpoint on Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. And by the way, Site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, just visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And once again, no www, just psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody. So spread the word. We very much appreciate it. And the call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. And I know they will post that in the chat room, but that is 724-444-4851. So let's have a little kind of chat time. Sharon, how are you? Are you there?
I'm here. Hi. I forgot I was on mute and I was talking away.
I do that all the time.
That was a great show.
She's an interesting gal, yeah. I think everyone thinks a lot.
It's such an interesting subject.
Yeah, so apparently on this long weekend, I'll be living in my closet throwing things away.
That's funny. And then all the new stuff can come in your life. That's good.
That would be a good thing. Well, tell me, what is something funny you saw in a client's house once when you were there doing a reading?
Okay, well, I went into the client's house and she was telling me, oh, I'm so lonely, I have no friends, I have no boyfriend, blah, blah, right? And and I went into her relationship corner and I went, there was a picture of her when she was a young girl and it was a really odd picture, like she was sitting there with her head down and she was almost, it was like in tears. And I go, well, how long have you had this here? And she's like, forever. And so I made her move it because I thought that could be drawing that energy to her. So she ended up moving it and things kind of picked up. So you never know, you know?
And it was that simple.
Well, it was one thing, you know, but it's just if you start looking at your corners, what you have there, like some people will feel lonely and then they have one chair in their relationship corner. Well, stick to, you know, like you have to act as if sometimes and it's kind of interesting. Yeah. So that's my story.
Very cool. That's my story. So that's okay. All right, Nancy. Thanks, Sharon. Nancy.
Hello.
Hello. do you think yoga and feng shui have similarities?
I do, and I think they resonate at the same vibration, actually. And
where's my mute button?
And I think yoga and reorganizes your mind and helps you reorganize your body and your spirit. And I think feng shui does the same thing in a material way, so you're readjusting and you're moving around material things in your life, and with yoga you're using your body and your mind and you're getting the same results. So I think they're very similar. It's just different ways of doing it.
And they all interact. And actually Tisha, I believe, said she started with yoga and then fell into feng shui that way.
Yeah.
With the whole cleansing process. So, yeah, very cool.
Yeah, yoga is amazing. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, that resonates very well.
Excellent.
Excellent. All right. I hear giggling from Maureen, so let's get her on the table here.
I'm chuckling, okay? I'm just
chuckling.
It's an endeavor or yada, yada. Okay, you know, no, resonating. Did you have a question for me?
I'm not sure. Go ahead.
No. Well, you maybe this is my take on feng. You know how I have takes on things.
You have takes on things. So, what do you think about feng shui and/or the idea of such a thing?
Okay, I think it's fantastic. In fact, this, you know, I'm really happy because I'm a little bit older than some. little. But I'm really happy to see that this has come about from 25, 30 years ago, because it's becoming more and more popular, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I don't know if all my co-hosts are the young people that you are, but maybe have noticed that as well. But I do know absolutely, without a doubt, that my mind, and because I just moved, like I said earlier, from a place that was there 9 years, and my daughter was there when she, you know, where she's growing up, although she lives now in loveliness. But I did notice, since I've moved into this new place recently, I got rid of a lot of stuff. My office, when she was talking about office things, absolutely. I mean, where I'm located right now, it's much, I can see, I feel the effect on my work. And also, I live down at the beach in the water. I have plenty of water. I have plenty of water on the side. But I do feel, and it goes without saying, it is about, someone said, I think one of us, or one of the house, our home also has a soul to it. So we need to address that. And I think it's very important to smudge as well, that we go right into what we're talking about in the topic, because it's important, because that kind of sets it all going for the she and the heart and all that. So I'm really happy about this, and it does work. And I've been struggling with my, you know, holding on to my treasures and getting too much clutter for a long time. And so my daughter's in there, I think, still, and she's proud of me because I've been doing better. So, I think it's great.
It's tough to get rid of the memories, but yeah.
It works. It does make a difference. But it's really important to go in, especially when you're moving into a place where there's stuff in the walls, there's stuff that, remnants of stuff, anybody else, even if it's cleared out, there's nothing in here. It's very important to sage with sweet grass. I use lavender and copal and white sage as well. But that's mm-hmm. very important part of the whole process, I think. Or it adds to it.
I added to that, when I did it this weekend, I saged and then I put salt in all the corners to absorb.
I've never heard of salt, because I don't like salt, but I put it in my bath. No, I live at the beach, salt water. I think it's interesting, Phil. I thought it was interesting what you said about that, actually. No kidding aside.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm confused. I don't even know where I'm at anymore. Sharon. Hi.
I just wanted to add something to Maureen's. Is what you can do too is you can get some lavender oil or something, put a little bit of witch hazel, and fill up a water bottle and just sort of spray it in the corners and stuff. And that makes it, just makes everything kind of lighten up. Just make sure you're not putting it on wood or anything, but just sort of spray it around, and it's really nice.
Cool. And actually, I saw on Tish's website, she has a bottled smudge.
Oh, I saw that. That looks cool. Yeah.
But so, go ahead.
Are you going to ask me my question, or do you want me to just answer it?
You can just answer it if you want.
Okay. In Feng Shui, you use a lot of like fountains and fish and water. And I'm always nervous, I'm always nervous to leave that around. So what I found at the dollar store was these little solar, because you want movement in the area to stimulate the area. And I found these little solar flowers that sort of move up and down. So I have a bunch of them, and then I use that for my movement in the window. So it's causing the same ripple effect. So I just, for a dollar, I thought it was kind of a neat thing.
That is a neat thing.
Yeah, you'll see them around. So
very sweet. All right. Okay, Nancy, you still with us? You flickered for a minute. Welcome back.
I can hear you. Yes.
Welcome back. Oh, I'll ask you your question quick. can you share, before you twitter away, can you share your unique decluttering strategy with us? You have an actual strategy for this.
I do, and I'm not one that I can part with things very easily. I tend to easily, I call it cleansing. I throw stuff away, and I've moved quite a bit. But in saying all that, I still seem to collect and gather a lot of paper. And I have a home office, so I was trying to arrange things so I wouldn't have so much paper around. And at the same time, I have a lot of pet cats and they're always on the desk. So I thought rather than, tell them or pick them off the desk all the time, I arranged my workspace or decluttered it so that the cats could have space on the desk. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it really seems to be working better because they're not getting in my way. And I think they feel very special now because I've made special places for them amongst my workplace, you know, and they're so demanding that they really need a lot of attention. So I think it's a way of making them feel like they're still getting attention, but really I'm working.
And you're such an animal lover. You just feed off their energy, so if they're sitting there happy, that's a good thing for you.
It's good energy, yes.
Yes, very cool. Maureen, I hate to bring you on the table again, but
you'd be sorry.
And I'll phrase this the best way I can, but you have a passion for lighting. What's up with that?
What up with that? Okay, lighting has always been very dear to my heart because, you know, people, I mean, since I was in my 20s, you can take a dog ugly place and put little lighting spotlights. Now they have the rope lights. I mean, my gosh. And I used to buy rope lights at a time where they were so expensive. They were so expensive back in the day in the 80s. But now everybody has access to rope lights, but also the little spotter lights are just very reasonably priced. Or even if you want to go into the track, get a little track lighting, they have all sorts of cool stuff out. But lighting is very important for feng shui, I should say. Okay, I don't say that right, but FS. FS. So if you choose clear and non-distorted mirrors too, as well, it will help with the lighting. And but where lighting goes, it's almost like even in a direction, it's every direction from north to south important in the total amount of ones and lights put into specific areas. So add energy, not just to the home, but with the person. So it's really nice. So the FS really helps to activate or add energy to parts of our life when used correctly. And lighting is one method to increase the energies or specific aspects of our lives. So I think it's so important to really be, you know, and it's so inexpensive to do. It really is. And it's for children. It's great for children if you have children around because their creativity can be, if you have the lighting unique, it can be really great for the family in any aspect. It's a win-win, and sky's the limit. No intent pun because you get to the stars of light, but really, it's great.
Are larva lights still in?
I have some still upstairs. I use those for other means, but but really, everybody, put lighting. Some light, put lighting. You know, little spot, little stuff. I mean, it's so inexpensive, but plus it really will add. And you go on the aspect of north and that kind of thing. But where the also candle lighting. By the way, I want to say candle lighting is very, very good. It's very good. Okay, there you have it.
Light is very good. There we have it.
Absolutely. The end. The end.
Okay, Sharon.
Hi
again. What is the most horrible thing you ever saw before that just screamed, get out of your house?
Oh, it was get this thing out of your house, because I went to someone's house and she had this thing in the kitchen and it was like the shape of a man, sort of backwards, and all the knives were in the man. So it was like a knife holder. What? But it was a man, like the shape of a man. So, basically, it had all these knives through him. And I'm like, oh, my God, get that out of your house. It was horrible.
I think you would have turned and ran at that point.
Yeah, it's symbolic of such a horrible thing. And I thought, how could people buy that? So it reminds feng shui, things like that. It always reminds me of that, things you see in people's houses, Did I not say it correctly? Did you get me? The little man with the knives in it?
I gotcha.
You gotcha, okay. Sometimes I talk in my head, so I thought, I wonder if that made any sense.
it was a knife holder that looked like a guy's head, and it had all knives stuck in it.
Yeah, it was really gross. So you got to be careful what you have around your house.
You got to be careful. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Alrighty.
Cool. And Nancy, what's your favorite way to cleanse a space?
Well, I do it different ways, and I really like using sage, and I like using incense, but I also do energy work, and I really like using Reiki as well. And I noticed our guest tonight talked a little bit about energy work, but I like using that. I think my next one would be incense, because I just really like the smell.
Because you like the smell.
Yeah, so, you know, it's as simple as that.
Incense, it's easy. I put three in this morning, lit it, stuck them into a plant holder, and let it fly.
Yeah, basically. And sometimes you just have to do things the easy way because you're busy or, you know, you don't know enough about it and you don't want to take the time to learn at that moment. So I think incense is nice.
Okay. And we're going to be taking callers, I think, shortly.
I think now. Yeah, I think we have a lot of callers. From what I understand, I could be wrong, but I think what I read is now. We have four callers.
Okay. Well, since you're already on the phone, you get to get the first call, Maureen.
Okay. Well, hi.
You drew the short straw.
This is Maureen Washington. I have no problem. I'm jumping right in.
Hi, Washington.
Thank you, Phil. Hi, Washington. This is Maureen. I'm ready. May I?
It's Be Happy.
Happy. I'm so happy.
Hi. I'm talking on my headset, so I wasn't sure or not you could hear me.
So, you sound great. You sound great. And okay. So I'm ready for you.
Okay. My son's about ready to take a test related to his career, and I want to know if you see him passing this test or not, because he actually needs it to use his schooling he's had.
I understand what you're talking about. And if he doesn't pass, he'll have to, and it's expensive for those tests, too. I think they're costly. But do you, you know what? I see him being, you know, I get it. He's a very hard working. He looks like he's so hard working, even in addition to school. He's extremely, he could be exhausted. But you know what? I get a feeling that he doesn't feel very confident about himself. And it's like there's some bad news coming. But did he do this test prior to this again? Or is this the second time?
He has been taking practice tests, and each time he's been taking the practice test, he's been doing worse. So he's
That's okay. That's because it looks like there's like not such great news. So that would be, but no. See, and those, you know what? He could be the type of person when you take those tests. My daughter. She goes to a pretty high, very hard school, but she gets all wound up. She knows everything, and then test comes. She's one of those people that just freak out, you know, and she doesn't do as well. Your son, you know what? If you talk to him, I feel that he's going to do very well. It's try to get him to release from these practice test negativity that he wasn't doing well, because this is not a practice test. Because I do feel he'll do very well. I absolutely do. He looks like a great person. Yeah, he's going to do very well, and he's been working really hard at getting as much as he can. I mean, he's been really, it's not like he's lazy sitting around, but these practice tests, I think, you know, some people can really mess them up, you know, because you're starting to get these things that you didn't do very well. You know what I mean?
I know, because he's talked to people who have taken the test, and they said that they did really bad on the practice test, but really good on the actual test. So
Great. And also, just keep reminding him, even though people have told him, see, that's a good point. Ed Feathers have had that experience. I feel he's going to do great. He's worked hard, and yes, he will do great. And the practice, yes, he is. He's been waiting a long time. He's tired. He's been working really hard. He's going to do great. Absolutely. Okay. Good for you.
Thank
good mom.
You, Maureen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen.
Bye. Be happy. Bye. You make me happy. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay.
There we go. So we have a caller from Montreal.
Hi.
How are you? This is Sharon. Can I have your name?
Donna.
Donna. Hi, Donna. Did you have a question for me tonight?
It's Shauna.
Oh, Shauna, sorry. Did you have a question for me?
Yeah, I have a question about a guy. His name is Anthony.
Okay. What's the question? Like, you just want to know what's going on there?
Well, I want to know what's going on. He's been distant, and I want to know if you see a relationship.
With him, like you and him. I'm kind of seeing he's going through something. I get him sort of standing there and turning in a circle. So he's really confused right now. You might have to give him a little bit of time and a little bit of time to figure this one out. And I'm getting that you two are going through a lot of growth right now. So, you know, before you're reaching out and reaching for this person, make sure that this is who you want and this is who you want in your life. Because I sense when I go to like January, February that you're in a really nice relationship, a very kind and sensitive relationship. So I'm not sure if it's Anthony and you guys have figured it out, but you're just kind of on the tip of moving forward very quickly. So just make sure you pick well. Okay? Does that make any sense to you?
Who do you see me with in January?
Well, I'm seeing someone that is like he's gentle, he's kind, he's very sensitive to you. I feel that sometimes you can be a little bit complicated, and I feel this person really understands you. Okay, so I'm going to leave that with you, and I hope that helps you. Okay.
Okay, but what's going to happen with Anthony? Is he going to be around like through the new year?
Yeah, you're going to have to work that one through. I kind of sense that you might grow away from him, but just take it the way, take each day, okay? And we're going to have to leave that with you. Okay, then? Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay. Is Phil
dropped off his
ear? Sorry. operator error on my side. Nancy, you have a caller from Washington State.
Thank you, Phil.
Okay.
Hello. Hi, Washington State.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks for calling in. Did you have
my name
a question?
Yes, I do. So, my stepmom is going through a divorce with my dad, and she's now interested in another man, which I'm very supportive of, and I really want to work out for her because I'm closer with her than my dad.
Okay.
But she is holding back, though, for the sake of my little sisters, and which are 9 and 5, and I'm just, you know, curious to how my little sisters are going to take this, and I just hoping that they'll be okay through it, and just wondering.
Okay, well, first of all, I'd just like to say I'm really sorry to hear about that. And, you know, children are very resilient and they're often much more able to bounce back than we are. And you don't sound very old yourself, but I think that, you know, it's probably going to be a lot harder on you. And for them, I see in the next little while that, you know, they're aware of something that's going on, but there's still a lot of love around them. So I think even though your stepmom has reached out to other men, she still has very deep feelings towards your dad. And I think there's still a lot of respect there. I think that maybe, you know, at times it seems like she's making bad choices, but it's always, she thinks she's always doing what she feels is right. And I see that I think the person that's really having the most difficulty is you. You're really the one feeling the separation and the loss, because, you know, you said you were close to your stepmom, and, you know, and it's okay to feel like that, because if you don't feel bad and you don't feel the pain, then you're not going to be able to deal with it. But everyone else around you, and I think you're trying to be really strong for everyone else, but it's okay for you to show that you're upset, but it's also
okay to show, you know, the younger girls that this is a part of life. I mean, people do get divorced and, you know, people split up, but it's really not anything to do with them. It's a part of their relationship, and it has nothing to do with anybody else. So I think that even though it seems really hard right now, that things are going to get better, but they're really going to bounce back, and, you know, they're really looking up to you, and they're looking at you as a role model through this. So if you can, you know, just, you know, don't be afraid to share your feelings with them, but at the same time, just be aware that you're talking to a 5-year-old and a 9-year-old. And I think that, you know, that you're still a family, and that you're going to get through it as a family, and they're going to be fine, and you're going to be okay too.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, very nice. And let's see.
Does that make sense?
Yes, okay. No, that does.
Okay, take care. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Okay, and we have a caller from Rhode Island, and I guess that's going to be for me. So how are you, Rhode Island?
Hi there. How are you, Doug?
This is Phil. How are you?
Good.
Good, and you are?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and your name is?
My name's Jackie.
Hey, Jackie. What's your question? How can I help you?
Well, I got a lot going on in my life right now. My only child, my son, 21, he moved out a month ago. Doesn't really have a full-time job. I have a lot of people in my life, family and friends, that cause a lot of stress. There's a lot of illness, a lot of people around me at Yale, and I'm trying to do all sorts of things. I'm trying to clean out my dad's house in order to sell it, and trying to clean up a lot of clutter in my own house. I'm pretty overwhelmed, and I'm wondering if there's one area that seems maybe more important for me to focus on right now than any other thing.
One area, so you're looking for one area to focus on, and what are your options? What are your three key things that you're thinking about?
Right now, it's kind of like doing whatever has to be done with my dad's house to get that moving, getting my own house in order, and... You know, in the back of my mind, I'm concerned about my son, and I've got toxic people in my life, so I don't really know what would be the healthiest thing to focus on right now, put it that way.
All right, what I'm getting, and I'm just using a pendulum right now, for it's great for yes, no's, and it's actually not answering anything, which is a little weird, because what I'm getting is you just kind of need to generally clear out your clutter is what's going on right now. So the negative people in your life, the show is Feng Shui, so you can start decluttering your house, decluttering your dad's house. And I see kind of this going on all at the same time. But the key is all the negativity that you're surrounded by right now, you need to get your own space back. And I'm flipping a couple cards for you. And the first card that came up is upside down for you, and really it's a picture of a woman just flying through the air, feathers on her feet, up in the clouds, emotionally free, not a care in the world. And unfortunately right now, that's not you. Okay,
definitely. That's funny.
Unfortunately, that's not you, and we want to get you back there. So what we're going to do is we need to get your emotions back. Yes, we know that. I'm throwing cards down and talking at the same time.
Well,
it looks like about
6 months
is going to be your process time on getting everything together and feeling like yourself again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of breaking
and
up.
We're not going to pick your dad's house or your son or things to that. It's really kind of cleaning your own stuff up first.
Okay.
Getting yourself to a solid emotional point. where you feel good about yourself, you'll have more energy, and then you'll be able to address the situations that you need to. So you're going to be scattered for a bit doing a lot of things. And I know you want them all done now and quicker, but it's not going to happen. You have a broken heart card up in the future. And not that a guy's going to break your heart, just broken heart because you can't get everything done at once and everything's being thrown at you. Okay?
Exactly.
So if I had words of wisdom, it would just be patient, work on yourself, get rid of the negative energy, and bring in the light from the universe, and just kind of get yourself to take a little time off, step away from all the situations.
Yeah.
And just take a couple of breaths for yourself. Go sit in nature. I don't want to say go hug a tree or anything. But, you know, just go take a time out, whether it's getting your nails done, whatever is going to make you happy for a little bit. Take care of yourself for a little bit. We want to start shifting that emotional balance for you. And then
Should
you're going
I
to be able to address the other things as they come up. But you're first. This is a situation where I'm really feeling you need to put yourself as number one and then go from there. Does that make sense?
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit, but I guess a general idea.
All right, I'll keep it short and sweet now that we went through the deck. Fix yourself first. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Do something nice for yourself. We're going to change your emotions, your mental state, and do something nice for yourself. And once you get your energy back, it's like you're almost drained. Then you can start addressing the other issues, Jackie.
Okay. I thank you.
Okay, I hope that helps you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, have fun. All right.
Okay.
Maureen.
That's what I am.
Everyone say Maureen's name at the same time. 1, 2, 3, Maureen.
Maureen, okay.
Maureen.
Okay, you guys funny. Hi, Michigan. This is Maureen.
Hi.
Hi, and what's your name?
Tyla.
I'm sorry, Tyla?
China.
Sorry, China. Okay, I'm ready for you. What's your question for me?
Okay. My question is going to be kind of long, so, okay. My question is about my boyfriend, Brandon. Our relationship has been very rocky lately. Last week, I was with him, and I went through the phone. I know it's long, but I just felt kind of suspicious. I went through his phone, and I went through text messages, and I saw some things that I definitely was not supposed to see.
Right.
And after that, I confronted him about it, and he said that his brother uses his phone and that's Brandon's old phone. And, you know, he got mad at me afterwards. So
yeah. Okay.
It was kind of hard.
You know, I wanted to ask you, how long has this been? This has been going on for quite a while. I mean, you guys you have trust issues with him. There's no doubt about it. And I think you have some valid reasons why, because probably something from the past. You have trust issues, and I know that there's something why you do. Is that true?
Yeah.
So, I guess, go on, China. I'm sorry.
Okay, I wanted to know because after that, it's like, he works a lot, mainly Monday through Friday, and it's like I barely hear from him anymore. And when I do call, he never answers or he'll send me the voicemail. He barely texts me. And, you know, I haven't heard from him since yesterday or today. And I just don't know if he's cheating on me or could the relationship possibly be over because it really worries me.
Okay, this is a thing. I think you're a fantastic woman, and I think that you gave up on looking for a deeper meaning with this situation. Now, I'm not saying what's his name again? His name is?
Brandon.
I'm not saying he's a bad person, but I think he needs to get on and get himself in order and sort himself up and be a man and or whatever. But see, he's been able to do whatever he's doing. I think his behavior is not very good. He's not on his higher vibration. He's on the lower one. And what's happening is you're kind of like, in a way, losing yourself. because you're seeing, and I know that you see this realistically, you're not seeing things that are in Fantasy Island. I think it's really hitting, it's almost like in a way, you know how we go through denial, but then you go through acceptance. I think that you already know, you're waiting for something that's not coming. It's like not waiting for, you're waiting for a ship that's not going to be coming in. And I feel that if you, and if you really do care much about him, I'm not saying he doesn't care about you, or he doesn't love you, but he's not appropriate. He's not appropriate what he's doing. And because he's doing it and you're allowing it to, you know, you kind of like settled for it. And I think that you need to detach. I see that your sleeping will get better. But I do feel that you're in a good place right now, even though it might be feeling like it'll be devastating. It won't be more devastating than what you're feeling now. You know, it's exhausting to start thinking, well, he's not, why, you know, call him, he's not around, you know, you see text, whatever, on his phone. He makes up stories. So I feel that it would be to your, I encourage you to detach. You do it, not him. And try to do this where you can try to break the pattern, because he'll think you're not serious, and come back around a little later, and he'll keep going through the same vicious circle. And the relationship won't change. It will be like this. And I don't think that this is what you want. And I do feel that it's time that you're able to release from the past. It's like, it's disappointment. There's disappointment, but perhaps you're clinging to outworn manners of thinking. But I think this is a good thing, because I see that it is putting you into, emotionally speaking, into a really good place where you can see really truly what the reality is. And so don't be afraid to face this, because he might get a lot from it by you detaching. If you can really have, you're brave enough, you can do it. He'll have to change. He'll have to think about, or he won't, and then you'll know. But he'll have to make, because he won't have you to tolerate it anymore. Do you follow me?
So you're saying break up with him, because I feel like I really want to be with him, because I think I talked to you before. You said things possibly
I remember you a long time ago. And like I said, but in order for him to get it together, you need to step back. You need to not break up. I said detach. Don't be, you know, don't call him as much as you did. You can do this, because that's the only way I see, by you changing, really changing, he's going to change. And I do have faith in him, but I think it's going to take a while. But I think this is really your call on this. No pun intended. But I spoke to you a long time ago, and I can remember now. And I can understand, but I do feel that you need, it's going to keep on going on like this if he's allowed to. You know, really, what I mean? I mean, yeah. Aren't you tired and drained?
But what you're saying is that he's doing inappropriate things. Are you saying that he's cheating?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that he's not giving you, he's not around when you call him for work. He doesn't come around. It's always that he's being a child. He needs to grow up. I don't see any cheating going on here. But also I see that he's cheating on you by not being with you in a relationship. He's not with you in a relationship. And then he takes you for granted. That's what I meant by that. I'm not saying anything about cheating. Absolutely not. But I think that you're scared about that. And that's something that right there, detachment. He needs to grow up, and I think by you detaching, you really need to get boundaries. It'll be better, okay? It will be better.
Do you know when he'll call?
No, I have. If he does, I'd not answer the phone. You need to do this now. I don't know. If he calls, you're busy. You know what? You need to stand your boundaries, because you're worth more. And I do think that he'll come. I think he'll get the benefit of it. He'll change, and I feel very positive that later on you'll be happier, but not like this. It can't keep going on like this. And I know that you can do this. Okay, I hope I helped you. And hang in there. And I do think he's a good guy, but he's a child. He needs to grow up and sort himself up. And he doesn't have to if you're not expecting him, and no expectations from him. You know. You deserve him to be all that he can be, and he can be, but you're going to have to detach. I didn't say break up, okay? Detach. Okay?
So do you feel like he still wants to be with me as of now?
I think he's taken you for granted. I think I think he'd be very upset later on, but why not change things now and make it a win-win for both of you now instead of dragging this through? And you know, I think he cares a lot about you, but he doesn't give you much regard right now, because he doesn't have to. Because you don't ask him to. So that's what I mean. Do this. I know it sounds risky, but it's not. It'll be good.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to kind of cut that reading short, Maureen.
But thank you. But I hope I helped you, China, okay? And hang in there.
Okay, China.
Thank you, China.
All right. Very good. Our next reading is for Sharon.
Hi.
And it is a caller from, I don't know, Virginia maybe. Okay.
Hi, Virginia. You there? Hello. Is there a caller from Virginia here?
I'm here. Name is Donnie.
Hi, Donnie. How are you? I'm Sharon. Did you have a question for me tonight?
Yes, ma'am, I do. The girl's name is Penny. We talked 2 years ago. She was pushing, but I just wasn't ready, so we stopped talking. And then she found me on Facebook. And so we started talking again, and, you know, things were going good. And then all of a sudden, she stopped talking. She wouldn't answer her phone. I sent her messages and stuff, and I kept asking what I did wrong or what did I say, and I just don't know what happened, and it's been tearing me up. I haven't been sleeping or anything.
Oh, dear. That's not good. Now, the first time that it happened, were you the one to break it up?
Yes, or was she again? I just wasn't ready. I had too many issues in my life at the time.
Yeah, because I wonder if there's a little bit of, like, she just wanted to get back with you to break up. I wouldn't, you know, I'm feeling the energy is good, but I'm feeling you can do better. Like, I'm feeling that there's someone coming for you that is more suitable. And now, is there a big distance between the two of you? Like as far as far away? Like, what do you call that?
Ohio and Virginia.
Okay, so it's a little bit far?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I see someone sort of coming out of the blue for you, and I'm feeling, I keep going to September, October. Try not to let this, you know, beat you up so bad. I'm just sort of feeling like that, that there's someone new coming for you. And I'm feeling it's something to do with someone you know. They're going to introduce you. And it's just more, it's more suitable. It's more, this person is very family-oriented, wants sort of the same things you do. I don't know. I'm just feeling that one would be very complicated. You know, like your life was, like, complicated before, I think it would get very, very complicated. You know, but it's important for you to sort of let go of this. I know that's easier said than done, okay? But, you know, you have to start looking forward. How long has it been since she hasn't talked?
June the 9th.
Oh, so it's just been a little bit, eh? She didn't go away or anything?
No, she's still been posting on Facebook and stuff, you know, things that she does.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, you're sort of thinking, well, what did I do? Like, I must be me. Like, I feel you kind of like blaming yourself or, you know, going through this whole self-esteem thing, but you didn't do anything, and you know you didn't do anything. I mean, maybe she was hurt from before and just had to get back at you. I don't know, but, you know, just hold out. Try and work through it as maybe a pattern or something that you just got to work it through. Do some writing. I feel you're a very good writer, and just work it through. I feel, like I said, there's someone new coming that'll really rock your boat, and it's just, I feel September, okay?
September. So somebody's going to introduce somebody to me. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you're going to know the person. Someone's going to introduce you to them, or you're going to be out with a crowd, and you're going to meet this person, and you'll know her because you'll feel like you know her. You'll feel like that you've met her before, but you haven't. And it's just, it's like a really neat soul connection. And I'm getting September, and it's going to be a good solid relationship, very healthy, and that's what you need because you've been through a lot. Okay?
Yes, all right.
Okay, well, you take care. God bless.
Very cool. All right, next is Nancy, and hopefully you're not breaking up. And we have a caller from Ontario. Canada wants you tonight.
Yay. Hi, Ontario. Hello?
Uh-oh. We have an emptiness.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Executive Producer? Do we have another caller? We have one from Orange County.
Nancy, hello, Orange County. Are you there?
Hi, my name is Lori. I usually speak with Maureen. Is it possible to speak with her?
Sure. No? Okay, I'm getting a no. Okay. You're stuck with me.
The powers that be said no. Sorry.
Okay.
Did you want to ask a question?
Yeah, I usually speak with Maureen. I'm a friend of hers. And she kind of knows what I'm about to ask, so maybe I need to have another opinion.
Okay. It never hurts.
Yeah, well, I have a relationship with somebody who's really special to me, and she had told me that I need to be more assertive, like maybe to open up the lines of discussion a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been trying, but I kind of have some self-confidence issues, and so I'm wanting for our relationship to turn into more than just friends with benefits type of a relationship.
Okay.
So,
and you've been friends for a while?
A long time, yes. A long time.
And it hasn't progressed to the level that you would like it to?
Well, you know, it's been a progress, and, you know, it's really great that he's got a lot going on in his life, a lot more than I do. And I think that, the time that we have together is really, wonderful. It's just, I'd like for it to be a little bit more, and maybe eventually, move in with him, someday. That's my fantasy. He's a musician, and he's together for about 6 years.
Okay. Has it been going on for years or just months or?
No, 6 years. We've been friends for like over 10 years, but commit for about 6.
Okay. Well, the best relationships I feel are ones that evolve out of friendship. So if it does turn into a love relationship like you would like, it's going to be a good one because, if he gets through all of his issues, because, you have that history and you really know each other. So I think if he can get past his stuff, things will develop into a nice relationship. But at the same time, in saying that, therein lies the question, is he going to get through, all of his stuff? And I think that, anybody, I believe, can change, and as we grow older, sometimes we're better able to handle all the things that life gives us. But I see you and him. What I'm sensing here is that you and him are going to develop into a relationship, but it's going to be one at, you have to decide how long you're willing to wait, because I think it's going to take a little bit longer for him to work his stuff out. But I think there's some divine intervention going on where, there's not a lot that you can do, and you can't control the other person, but you can always control how you think and how you act. So I think that you just need to give him some space sometimes to, deal with his stuff and to work some things out, so you don't always have to be involved or around him, and just give him that space that he needs. But at the same time, I think that, you can play a supportive role, and that would help as well, just let him know that you're there for him. And I think eventually, things will go the way you want them to, but it's going to take some time. It's still going to take some time.
When you tell me, you're saying time, are we talking months? Are we talking years?
I think another year or two, and I think that over that period of time, things are slowly going to progress, but there is going to be some progression, and I think you're going to start to see it. I think you're going to start to see if you pull back a little bit and give him a little bit of space, and I think I feel a need that you need to focus in more on yourself and deal with some of your stuff, because I think this has been very draining on you, and so I think that you've put a lot of energy into him and you put a lot of energy into him and you, but you haven't put any energy into you. So I think that, you know, the times that you need to pull back a little bit from him are times that you could spend on yourself and do some self-care and because a relationship is about give and take, and I think there's been a lot of take and not a lot of give, and that's because he hasn't been able to, and I don't think he's a bad person. As like you said, he's had his stuff to deal with, so I think that, you know, once he gets through everything, things will be fine, so, you know.
Okay, so you have good feelings about the relationship then?
Yes, I do, and I. But at the same time, I think that you've gotten a little bit lost in it. So there is a real need for you to, you know, take care of yourself at this point as well.
Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I am doing that right now. I am. Mm-hmm. But I do see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So. And one other thing, if I could have one more minute, he's real. I know that he's the kind of, you know, he's an entertainer, and he's definitely a guy that has a lot of friends that are girls, and but he like flirts like with them a lot in front of me, and I try not to let it bother me, but it does, and I don't like outwardly let it bother me, but is it just that he's just real playful that way?
Yeah, and we have to end this. I'm getting the cut off here, but yeah, I think that's part of his personality, and I think that he's just doesn't even realize that it bothers you so much, and I think that's just his nature, and he's kind of hardwired that way to be that way. But at the same time, he should be more aware of the effect that has on other people, but he's not, you know. So I wouldn't worry about that. Okay, thanks for calling in. Thanks for talking to me.
Okay, all right.
Okay, take care.
Bye. All right.
Very cool. And next we have a caller from New York. Are you there, New York?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, you from upstate
So I have a question. I'm in summer school. I'm taking a summer class right now, and it's kind of difficult. And I'm just wanted to know what it's going to be like and what grade I'm going to get.
What it's going to be like and what grades you're going to get. Okay. Well, what is your name? Can I get that?
Anne,
how are you? All right, let's see what we got for you for school. Okay. What kind of class is it, by the way?
It's a linguistics class. It's culture and linguistics.
Ooh, sorry to hear that. All right. The grade, and this is going to be a bummer answer, all depends on you, okay? So what you need to do is stay on focus. I'm getting the strength card for you coming through very strong. So get a mental aspect of achieving, going forward, staying strong, studying hard, and all that stuff. And everything will fall in place. If not, your next card is luxury going awry, which would be a bad grade. Also has the number 4, and I'll say that's a D. Okay? So if you're not going to put the effort into it, you're not going to get an end result, is what the cards are telling me. And you will be disappointed. So change your mindset. Yeah, you've got disappointment all around you, so for some reason you're just not getting it. So study harder, study different, do things to that nature, because it's not settling in, and it's making that course difficult. So try different angles of learning it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but why is it that it's not settling in?
Why is it that it's not settling in?
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm having trouble grasping. I don't know why I'm having trouble grasping.
All right, which ways are you trying to grasp it? Verbally, mentally, reading it, hearing it?
All of the above. I don't know. I'm just trying to get a hold of the ideas, and I don't really understand what we're talking about.
Okay. Let's throw down a couple of cards here. Because what I'm getting is you need to get the information a different way so it clicks. And for some reason, you're not able to find that. So hit me with your question again. I'm sorry.
Which question? The last one,
yeah.
Well, I just want to know, like, why is it isn't clicking and what exactly do I need to do for it to click?
Okay, it's not clicking because you've got false demons in front of you. It's in your head that you can't get it, if that makes sense. You've got a mental block that you're unable to understand what's going on there. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so you need to remove that block. It's a false demon is what we call it. And it's not real. You can get over it, okay? So just by emotionally getting balanced and going, I can't do this, I can learn this, then you'll be able to defeat the dragon, as we call it, okay? So just kind of get up in your head and study hard, and you will beat the dragon, but you have to really push for it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, if in the worst-case scenario I don't get the grade that I need to get, then will I be kicked out of school?
I'm going back to the cards I had down. You had a bunch of negative money cards. So if you don't succeed, if you don't get a B or above is my guess, then you're not going to get kicked out of school, but it is going to be a major deterrent for you.
Okay.
Okay, so once again, we just want to stay focused, stay strong, and achieve the goal is what was coming through for you. Don't think failure, think positive, and then make it happen.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Good luck.
Okay, New York for Maureen, I think me next, huh? I'm sorry, Phil. I don't mean to be. Hi, New York. Okay.
Hello?
Hi, New York. This is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. It's Kate.
Hi, Chase. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm having some financial difficulties, and I want to know if things are going to straighten out, and if so, approximately how long?
Yeah, okay, I can relate to that. Oh, my gosh. And so there you have it. I'm glad I that good question. You know, I this is what I'm getting. It looks like I see you as a student would be. I'm not saying you're going to school, regular school style, but you're getting a lot of knowledge or insight, which is going to be very helpful for your moving forward with their money situation, where I do see you've put stuff out there, and well, I've used this term. You do your ships, you know, people would put pay money to have their ships go out, but they would pay for the, you know, the voyage. But so you'd see the guy that invested and he's waiting for his ships to come back. That's how it was. I do see that you've put out some stuff. It's not like you're going, well, I want some money or my financials. You've put a lot of energy out there, and I can see you're not the type of woman that needs to rely on any man for false sense of security. You're very clear about that. And I feel that I want to ask you something. Are you right now getting knowledgeable in anything that, differently? Are you getting more knowledge in what you've put out there? Get more involved in what's going on with some of the projects you're working on. See what's happening with them.
Are you talking about financially?
Yeah, absolutely. All this is, yes.
Because it's two different directions is where the problems are coming from.
Okay, that is the best thing you're doing. That's why I'm seeing you as a student, because you need to be more completely directly involved, whereas maybe before you weren't. Because this is where I see you're going to make it happen. I feel within the next 3 months, things are going to start really happening, but it's because of you getting your nose back into it. No pun, I don't mean to be rude about the nose,
okay.
But
no.
Do you follow me on what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're doing all this. I mean, I'm just expressing it to you, but good for you, because this has been long awaited, but I think you got it. You're getting it. And it's only a matter of time. Like I said, within 3 months, it might be sooner. I could be wrong. But within the 3 month period, you're going to see things happening because you're making it. So you're finding out more what's happening. You know, what's going on here, people, or projects in this, or venture, whatever you're embarking in. And so, yes, absolutely. You're doing well, and you've taken the right step. So there you have it. I hope I helped you. It's excellent.
So it's going to work out.
Absolutely. And it's because of you taking an initiative to get more involved. Yes, absolutely. So,
okay. Great.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Maureen.
Thank you so much for calling. Bye-bye.
All right. Very good. And the last caller of the night, unfortunately, is for Sharon. Yeah. And I believe they are from Hawaii.
Yes, Hawaii. Hello, cool. Hawaii. Are you there?
Hi. Are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your name, please?
My name is Marie.
Hi, Marie. Did you have a question for me?
Yeah, I do, actually. I'm calling because I'm kind of being pushed in a direction to do some writing, and somebody said, you need to write your story, and I'm kind of confused between writing my own story or writing a story about my family, and I'm feeling kind of stuck, and I'm like, I'm not really sure which way to go and what's the most productive for me, and I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts on the matter.
All right, that's an easy question, because I think what's going to happen is you just have to let go a little bit, because the way this writing is going to happen isn't going to be that structured. It's going to come from spirit, and if you do some meditation or anything like that, your answers are going to come, and they're going to come quickly. I think that, you know, all your ideas are good, and I think eventually we'll write about all the things you've talked about, but I really feel that trying to do it the way you're doing it might not work. So it's sort of like what I'm getting from spirit is let go and do some meditation and just get your paper or your computer in front of you and just let spirit talk. And what will happen is they'll just write themselves. That's what I'm feeling. And you will very much, you'll be published very soon. It's a very, very good. It's all good. Okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Oh, thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. Take care.
Very nice. Always nice to end on a happy reading. So,
if you weren't able to get
a reading, visit us at psychicaccess.com. And in the meantime, that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. And thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight. And next week's show will be anchored by Nancy, I believe. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Cool. And what can we expect and look forward to next week, Nancy?
It's a show on aromatherapy.
Oh, nice.
And our guests, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I'm an aromatherapist myself, so I'm very interested in the topic. And our guest is Donna Maria Johnson, and she has several websites. She has the Indie Beauty business blog and the Indie Beauty site, and she really supports a lot of women in business as well, and it's a lot of home-based aromatherapy businesses.
Very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, once again, I'd like to thank the listeners, and now it's time to say goodbye and hit psychicaccess.com, and we will see you next week. Have a great night.
Good night, everybody.
Have a great night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, John Boy.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Psychicaccess.com. Oh, shit.